Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. John Patterson's here. John's he's an 07 model. That's right. We're coming up on 8 years as a great member of our Brain Trust. He's the founder and president of Progressive Insights, a member of the Chip Bell Group, co-author of a number of books on what makes customers tick, including Wired and Dangerous. I think that's the new one he and Chip have written. Also, Customer Loyalty Guaranteed. Also, Take Their Breath Away. You're starting to get the picture. He's our good friend, John Patterson. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back.
Especially with a guy who knows how to love up his customers.
Boy, I tell you what, I do. I admit it. I mean, I'll tell anybody in the world that I'll put my ability to love up a customer against anybody. There's a lot of things that I can't get up on my high horse too much about because I'm not very good at. But taking care of customers has been something I've devoted my life to, John, and you have too. Because I'm not conflicted. I'm not confused. There's no quandary in my life. I don't wring my hands over who's the most important person in my company. What do you think?
I agree, and I heard before the break, I heard what you said. And you're on target. You are right on target.
There's no chicken or egg quandary here, is there?
Better not be.
No.
Better not be.
And even if you have customers, I like the approach of internal customers and external customers. I like that. I like that.
Yep.
But there's no quandary in my life about which is the most important.
No. I understand. You're clear, as you should be. Because what happens these days is if the customer, that external customer, thinks you're taking them for granted, you know what happens.
Yep.
They're gone. They're gone. Because there are too many people out there that can offer them an alternative. And, I thought we might spend a few minutes today just talking about why customers leave. Because I think there's a big misunderstanding around why customers leave. Because a lot of companies don't try to find out why customers leave until customers are on the way out the door.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe I think they wait until they've been gone a couple of months, and the trail's dead. What do you think? Did we lose John? I think we might have lost John there. So we'll get John back on. Where did you get John back on? He's right though, folks. I mean, think about this. Think about customers that you know, just in your head right now. Think about the names and the faces of customers you know, and then say to yourself, okay, when have they been in my store? When have we heard from them? And, John, it's amazing how often we don't think about customers. And I think we don't think about them until they've been gone a while.
Yes, you're absolutely right. If you look at the research on this, we're way too slow at thinking about who isn't here until they're out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And what's fascinating to me is if you look at the research on why customers left and you ask the business why they left, they have lots of reasons. They'll tell you, their needs changed, or it was easier for them to buy over here. Well, we raised our price a little bit. But if you ask the customer why they left, overwhelmingly, they will tell you they left because of the experience. We've been talking about,
it might not be that they got a bad experience where they were, although they might have, John. But it might be that they didn't get an experience that made them say, "I got to go back there." And when another shiny object jumped up in front of them, they bolted for that.
That's right. So if you only love up your customer enough to keep them in what we call the zone of satisfaction, then they're always open to the other shiny object. So your job is to love them up enough to get them all the way to the zone of loyalty. Because once they're in that zone of loyalty, they're your advocate. They're telling people to use you. you have got them where you want them. But if you leave them in the zone of satisfaction, as we say, Jim, then somebody's liable to recruit them away. It happens all the time.
Right.
Well, if you're not staying, staying up with them, to your point, if you're not finding out, where are they? How come you hadn't been here? And you wait till they're almost out the door, it's too late.
Well, there's another dynamic going on right now, John, that we have to pay attention to, I think, that you guys talk about a lot, and that is, you know, in the old days, in what I call the age of the seller, if we had a customer that we knew liked us and we knew did business with us regularly, if they didn't come back for a while, if we sort of all of a sudden realized that, wait, well, I haven't heard from them in a while, we probably would think, well, they're just not ready to buy again.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they are, we know they'll come back, right? That was the age of the seller thinking. Today, you can't think like that because they've got so many options coming in at them over the big pipes and the television and the radio and TV and I mean and newspaper everything else. They've got so many other options coming at them that they could have bought three times since you heard from them. And here's the thing that surprises companies. The customer doesn't even think about the fact that they've left you.
Right.
They're not mad at you. They just you became irrelevant lately, right?
That's correct. And that's a bad place. You know, if you're irrelevant, you're in a really, really bad place. Because we know today, Jim, we know that three things have happened. You already talked about. Number one, they have way more choices, right? There's all sorts of choices out there today. Number two, they're way smarter than they used to be. Mm-hmm. They're way smarter. They can find out anything they need to know about us or those competitors of ours. And they raise the bar on what they expect from us. And they expect a personalized experience. And if you can't give them that all the time, borrow your term, if you can't love them up just the way they want to be loved up, you're liable to lose.
You also have to find a way to follow them home, too, don't you, John? I mean,
stay connected. We are in a 24/7 world.
We are. And you've got to find that sweet spot, don't you, where it's just enough to let them know you love them, but not so much to let them think you're stalking them.
No question. And they're different, obviously. And you have to figure out how they want to do that.
Right.
How they want you. I love your term, follow them home. So true.
You got to get permission to do that.
You do. You got to treat them with respect.
That's right. Because you don't want
to treat them with respect.
You don't want them to think you're creepy. Hey John. Not that I've.
Yeah.
You know, that's another story. I need your website quick.
Yes.
Your website quickly, John.
www.johnrpatterson.com.
johnrpatterson.com. That man right there, and I will be right back. 20 after. Stay with us.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, Call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
That's Billy, Dusty, and Frank bringing us back. A little ZZ Top music for you there. A little blues, ZZ Top blues, some Texas blues. Welcome back, 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the talk show host who can't tell time. I'm still working on it. After 17 and a half years, you'd think I'd get it worked out. But anyway, it's good to have you back, folks, and 23 after. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and if I didn't laugh at myself, I'd miss the best laughs of my life. John Patterson's here. He knows how to laugh at me, too. He does it all the time. And he's the founder of Progressive Insights, the co-author of Wired and Dangerous, and other books on customer care. JohnRPatterson.com, right, John?
Yes, sir. You got it. We're laughing with you, Jim. We're
laughing with you. You're not laughing at me. You're laughing with me, right?
No, we're laughing with you because we all do the same thing.
Absolutely. If you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to miss the best laughs of your life.
You are. I love that. You know, you were just talking about something I think is really important that we bring up to these folks. And as we talk about keeping customers or figuring out why they're leaving, you use the word connection, staying connected, the connectivity, which obviously we have many tools, as we were speaking about, many tools. But the customer today, and you talked about not being creepy, but follow them home. They want a connection. They want that connection on their terms, and our job is to figure out what that connection needs to look like for them and then make sure we keep it.
Because if we don't. And home, John, it doesn't mean the place where you spend the night. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It could be a lot of.
I agree.
A phone could be in the palm of their hand. I mean, home could be in the palm of their hand, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And it varies, as you know, by age and many other demographics. But then the main thing is understanding what that customer wants from the connection and being able to match up with that. So you got to have multiple ways to get to that customer and level them up on their terms. Because you know it's been out there for a long time. It takes 5 to 10 times what it takes to keep a customer to get a new one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yep.
Not to mention what it does to your business when those customers churn. It's very, very expensive to replace them. And so, you want to get them in the zone of loyalty so they stay with you. But B, if somebody's not coming or you've lost somebody, you've got to understand. Chip and I like to call it customer forensics. You've got to understand what it was that pushed them towards somebody else. Because once they become indifferent to you and you become irrelevant, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, then people can recruit them very quickly because of all the different options.
Well, I'm gonna throw another thing out for, and you know, as you know, John, my gray hair is not premature, and I've been around a long time, and I do remember when if a customer went to a competitor, the company almost took it personally. It was like, well, they're obviously we've done something wrong. They're mad at us or something, because otherwise they would never go over there to that company. But so you'd feel like you had to go mend something. You had to go apologize or something, you know.
That's
but
fine.
Today, folks, I'm going to say this again. I said it earlier, John. if a customer leaves you, it's probably not that they're mad at you. They just did made another decision. So it's not like you got to apologize. You just fell off their radar screen probably. And if you get back on the radar screen, they'll come back.
Yeah.
But you gotta make them want to come back for one thing. When they imagine coming back, as you guys talk about all the time, you gotta make them want to do that, and then you gotta make it where they say, "Oh yeah, I forgot about those guys."
Yeah, you gotta understand what it is about the experience. You said this earlier. You gotta understand what it is about the experience. They either push them out the door or open the door for them, or made you be irrelevant.
John, what do you think about asking them about that? Just, I mean, depending on the kind of company you got, just say,
yeah.
John, you've been doing business with me for a long time, and I noticed you haven't been back in, or we haven't done business with you for the last 6 months, and I know you use this on a regular, my products on a regular basis. Would you mind telling me where you've been, why you went there? Can we do that?
Well, you found the gold, as usual, Jim, because the gold is having that conversation. And what we tell people is if you're going to have that conversation, go in there looking for knowledge. And the knowledge is what caused you to leave, what caused you to go over there. That's different from a win-back strategy. And where people go wrong is they try to combine the two. And so you just need to go in there to learn. And if you're sincere, they'll normally tell you why they left. I had a client hire me to go and talk to a major customer who had left. And I went in there and sat down with the customer. He agreed graciously to spend an hour with me. And the first thing he said is, now I need to understand something. They're paying you to come over here and ask me what they did wrong. I said, they are. I'm not here to win you back, although I'd love for you to go to work for them, work with them again. They're my client. But I am here because they want to make sure they understand what happened.
What did he say?
And he went through a litany. When I went back to tell him here's why he left, they just kind of got under the table and said,
wow.
I can't believe we did that.
Wow.
This isn't rocket science.
No.
This is not rocket science.
It's primal. It's primordial, isn't it?
It is.
It goes all the way back.
Here is at the root of that conversation.
Real quick, John. I got 30 seconds.
Okay, at the root of the conversation was, you match me up with somebody who didn't match with me, and I didn't like him, and I didn't like the experience.
And he didn't tell you. He just went away, didn't he?
He just left. Boom.
Yeah. They'll do that, folks. JohnRPatterson.com. Hey, John R. Patterson, come back soon.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time. John R. Patterson, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back another day. I'll be back after these messages. Stay with me.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397.
And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity high-performance HR and business solutions. From recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
The Alzheimer's.
You're listening to the man who's been called the Obi-Wan Kenobi of small business.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about having our good friend Joel Barker back on the show. Joel, as you know, folks, is a long time coming up on. Actually, we've already had his ninth anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. How about that? He's been around here a long time. We're so happy about that. He's one of the top futurists of our time, no question about that. Author of a number of books on the topic, including Future Edge, including Five Regions of the Future, and an outstanding filmmaker, which I've enjoyed his films over the years very much. He's our good friend Joel Barker. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back, and I'd like to say, and I hope you don't mind, that I'd like to dedicate the rest of our show today in memory, in honor of your mother, your late mother, who died recently, Mary.
Yes, she did, but she had a good and long and rich life. She and I sat and talked not even a year ago about all the things that she'd seen in her lifetime, and it's pretty amazing what she has seen transpire. So she lived a wonderful life, I think, and she died gently, and that was all. That's the way you wanted it.
I'm glad you had that conversation with her. That's an important one to have. And folks, the lesson here is if you haven't had that with your elderly parents, get it started. You won't regret it. Anyway, I want to dedicate and celebrate her life as we conduct our show today, our visit today, Joel. Okay, so I'm excited about this mind diet.
Yes.
That lowers the risk of Alzheimer's.
Yep.
And there's one particular reason why I'm excited about it, Joel. But before we get to that, tell us about the mind diet.
Well, the mind diet has been developed by Rush University Medical Center, a woman, Martha Claire Morris, who's a nutritional epidemiologist. I just love the specialties that developed. Anyway, she did a bunch of research and concluded that there was a very specific diet, which they're calling the mind diet, and I'll tell you what that stands for in a second here, that makes a huge difference. It lowers the risk of Alzheimer's by as much as 53%
Wow.
in people. adhere to it rigorously, but here's the best part, and I think this is really extraordinary. It lowers it 35% by those who just followed it moderately well.
Wow.
So you don't have to be perfect at this thing. And it's not like a 2% or a 5%. It's 35%
wow.
reduction. Now, you think about last night on CNN, they played the Glenn Campbell documentary.
Yeah,
I had not watched
it before.
He has
Alzheimer's
now. Yeah. He's, and what's interesting is he said, shoot the film. I don't care what I look like. I want this message to get out.
I didn't get
out.
To see that. I'll be darned.
I think if I'd say this to everybody on the radio that's listening, it's an amazing program about an amazing man
yep.
who literally cannot remember a comment made 30 seconds before it was said to him.
Yeah.
And yet he can remember his music. But,
wow.
But the point is this. They were talking numbers. 115 million people in the world are going to have Alzheimer's in 10 years.
Yep, yep.
In America alone, we're spending $3 trillion.
Do they think that there's been an increase in it over, say, 100 years ago, 200 years ago in the population percentage-wise,
you know,
per capita?
I have been watching for somebody to go through that discussion, Jim, and I have not seen it. So this
nobody's come up with a per capita estimation of that.
Yeah, there's hypotheticals, which is it's always been around. We just didn't know it. But then there's this argument that says, actually, our diet has changed so dramatically
right.
in the last 50 years that we have enhanced the likelihood of getting it.
Well, I very unscientifically differentiate between dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and they will.
Because dementia, to me, is just your brain wears out. Alzheimer's is a progressive disease.
Yes, and dementia also has to do with little minor strokes as well.
Right, right, right.
So you're stroking yourself to death.
But I've seen the shots of the X-rays of the brain and how it eats up the brain basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to get into the diet. The diet is give us some of the components quickly.
Here's the components. There are 15 dietary components. And remember, they go to your site because you're going to be
right.
carrying this
yep.
thing so people can look this up. These are called the brain healthy foods. Green leafy vegetables, other vegetables, nuts, berries, beans, whole grains, fish, mm-hmm. poultry, olive oil, and wine. I love
see,
the
there's that last one. There's that last one. I told you that's the reason I like
right.
this. I like this one.
Right. So that's a pretty good deal. Now, they say there are 5 unhealthy groups, and that is red meat,
yeah.
butter and thick margarine,
mm-hmm.
cheese that just kills my wife. She loves
not cheese.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Pastries and sweets.
Wow.
And fried or fast foods. You know what
yeah.
it sounds like? What our mothers used to say to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eat the meal. You'll have some dessert at the end, but not much.
That's right. Hey, Joe, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with more after these messages with Joel Barker.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper? Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high-performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity Business Performance Advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Joe Barker is our guest, our good friend, one of the top futurists in the world today, probably in the galaxy. And JoeBarker.com. I hope you check out that website. And and Joe, thanks again for being here. One of the things you and I have had some great conversations about over the last 9 years has been the idea of the climate change, and but mostly from a perspective of research and what can be done what can we do to minimize the impact of humans on it in a common sense way, in a way that serves all of us and is not hysterical and religious. Yeah. And I appreciate that about you. So today you brought us a couple of things that I want you to talk to us about. First, talk to us quickly about the evaporation idea and the power generating evaporation.
This is tricky to talk short, so I'm going to invite your readers to go read about it, because what I'm going to say requires more detail than we have time on. But we start with a very simple thing, which are bacterial spores. They are these little seeds, in a sense, that the bacteria create to protect themselves and wait for a time to come out. Mm-hmm. So somebody said, isn't it interesting that when you subject spores to humidity, they swell in size quite as significantly, percentage-wise. Mm-hmm. If you dry them out, they shrink. So these scientists, and this is what I love about scientists. They took a piece of tape, basically like Kevlar, you know, very strong. They put a set of dashes on one side, and the dashes were made up of the spores. So a spore, a space, a spore, a space, a spore, a space. Then on the other side, they did the same thing, except that where there's a space on one side, there was a spore on the other.
Huh.
Then they subjected them. They were dry when they did this. They put them in a humid environment. They expanded in size, and of course, because they expanded, they pulled that tape, and they closed the gaps between the space.
Energy.
Exactly, and not a trivial amount, a very substantial amount of energy. Then they hooked it to a piston, and they changed the environment, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, and it basically pulled this piston back and forth and generated electricity.
Wow.
Now, the crazy thing is it's really teeny, but the flip side is, who says you can't take a trillion of them?
Mm-hmm.
And it, as you said, power, just like that. So all of a sudden we're having people now say, and there's no CO2 being produced by this, by the way. This is
right.
CO2 free.
Mm-hmm.
It's bacterial.
Mm-hmm.
It is simple to do. And if you've got into mass production, the possibilities are serious that you
don't think of it, folks, as a bunch of spores in your car. Think of it as another step toward another breakthrough that could create something that would drive this. We're not saying this, that spores will drive your car in the future. We're saying this is the progression in the step to taking our natural world, other non-carbon things, and creating power from it.
Exactly.
Because 100 years from now, We may not have carbon driving our machines, but we're still going to have machines that are going to want to power.
Exactly.
In some way. And all right, let's move over quickly. Pathway. Let's move over quickly. Now, now, all my life, I've been reading popular science when I was a kid. Remember?
Yeah.
The kid, the flying car and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And one of the things that was written about at least four times a year was the friction. What am I trying to say?
Yeah.
The zero friction engine. What am I trying to, what's the word I'm trying to?
Well, you're basically a non-friction engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course, that could never be, except that.
Maybe so.
At the U.S. Department of Energy, Argonne National Labs. Again, notice national labs using federal funds.
Perpetual engine is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Perpetual engine.
Have found a new combination of graphene, and there's that graphene again.
Mm-hmm. Micron layer thick of carbon.
Yep. And they have arranged it in such a way that when you rub the this material on two surfaces, it almost doesn't show any friction at all.
So it's 1 millimeter thick of graphite in carbon, which in the form of graphene, and then nano pieces of diamond.
Yep.
Tiny, tiny microscopic pieces of
diamond. Tiny pieces of diamond.
Into a compound, and they coat a surface.
Yep. And they slide past, the two surfaces slide past one another with almost no friction and no added lubrication.
So let's put this into modern vernacular.
Okay.
What if your pistons and your piston cylinders are coated with this?
And your turbines and your jet engines.
Yeah.
And your diesel engines and your huge tankers.
Look at fuel efficiency.
Oh, again, it's one of these things that will change everything.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you've got a car
and
that really
doesn't
have
this
an oil
one. Pan. I see this one. Because, see, we have other oils. There are oils that have been created that are high-efficiency, low-friction oils and lubricants that we have that are real, that are in the market right now.
Yep.
And this is something that could come to pass in a very short order, couldn't it?
Well, we know how to make the graphene. We know how to do the nano diamonds, and it's a matter of the manufacturing. And they did have one condition, which was interesting. They said it has to be in a dry environment.
Oh, really?
That if water gets in there, it messes up the process.
Ah,
but that's
that's
seal
the same
stuff up all the time.
That's the same thing as a internal combustion engine.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want, you can't get water in your oil.
Right. And the same thing with turbines. You don't want water in the bearings of a turbine either. So that's not
What is the economics? The industrial diamonds are not expensive, are they?
No, in fact, we know how to make them really easy.
Make them,
with
we can synthesize them, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that, folks? That's something I think we're going to be seeing coming at us from the future, thanks to a great report from my good friend Joel Barker. He and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com,
if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back, 7 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're having a great visit with our good friend Joel Barker. JoelBarker.com is a website where you find all the things that Joel does and all of his futurist work, his books. All of his books are there. Also on Amazon, go to Amazon and put in Joel Barker in the search engine under books. And also, well, anything. Are your films available? They're available too, aren't they?
Sure, StarThrower.com.
Yeah, StarThrower, right. That's where you can find the films, yeah. StarThrower.com. So check that out, folks. You'll thank me later. Joel, a couple of quick ones we want to talk about. Yep. In the first segment, we talked a little bit about a diet that's supposed to help Alzheimer's
yep.
patients.
Yep.
But there's some new research on rats that is promising.
Yeah, and you think about that, diet is preventative. This is what's happened to the people who've got them, and that's the real issue right now in terms of health. And it turns out that AstraZeneca developed a cancer, solid tumor cancer drug that did not work, but it was put into a special trial that the NIH funds, which is, let's test it on other things just to see if it would do anything good. And it turned out that this stuff is a potent drug.
Hmm.
Now, it's mice Alzheimer's, right? These are mice that have been modeled into Alzheimer's. But not only did it restore the synaptic conditions and reduce the inflammation that comes along with it, but it also restored their memory. And
wow.
That is a big deal. And so, just very quickly, the human trials have already started on this because of the cancer test that it also qualified it. So we should know fairly soon if this drug has the potential of literally saving the memory.
And it reverses.
Yeah, exactly. He said, it blows away the plaque so that the
this isn't some long-term preventative process like the diet we talked about earlier is a long-term type of treatment to prevent things. This could actually be a weapon against this thing.
A corrective. It
yeah.
could in fact bring people
wow.
back from Alzheimer's.
Wow.
So this is something to watch for. This,
yeah.
And my guess is we will know in 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing the trials right now.
Completely flipping the subject, flipping over to another topic altogether,
yep.
there's a special kind of paper
yeah.
that they're talking about right now, right? They're working
yep.
on. Tell us about it.
The Swedes, you know, are big into forestry.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an amazing institute in Stockholm that says, what could we do with paper other than this?
And, by the way, Joe, let me stick one thing in there.
Yep.
A lot of American foresters study in Sweden.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've got friends who are foresters, and they study in Sweden.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Well,
so to support what you were saying.
Yeah. These guys are out of the box. They actually remade paper into a material so strong it's equivalent to steel, or excuse me, to iron.
Wow.
Paper. But this is even cooler. Professor Edmund at the Umeå University in Sweden basically mm-hmm. took paper, sprayed some coatings on it. So now think about that. It's spray, not roll, not paint. Sprayed these coatings, 6 coatings, and when the coatings were done, they put 11 volts of electricity into the paper. It lit up like an LED.
What? It conducted light?
It makes light. It generates light. It lights. It is a light itself out of the paper.
So it conducted the energy and converted it into light.
Into photons. And
wow.
They said it is actually very good quality. It's cheap. It's flexible. It can be made like newspaper can be made. That
wow.
is roll to roll. And if, you know,
so imagine a ceiling.
Like a wall.
Or,
you know,
yeah.
And they said it looks like they can, if properly done, we should be able to make it print. You know, I mean, look like a screen.
Wow.
Like a computer screen. So these weeds, I'll tell you, they're pretty clever.
Is this a nanotechnology, you think? That's
you know, it, I think...
Because I'm fascinated
right
by nano.
Yeah, when you get right down to it, it is very small compounds being sprayed
yeah.
down in very thin layers. Those are words that nano uses a lot, but they
yeah.
don't use nano here. But, it, you know, what it is it's a coating
yeah.
technology, like paint or like...
And all we did was say, why does it have to be inside of a piece of glass with some filaments?
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Exactly. Doesn't
just,
break.
Yeah.
You know, it's the thing that's so interesting about.
Yes, ma'am. I'll have a Rema light bulb, please.
Excuse me. From that roll, pull me 12 feet of the roll.
Yeah, I'll a Rema light bulb. Hey, Joel, I got to wrap it up. What a great visit! Thanks for being here.
Good talking to you, Jeff.
Good job, Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen. I told you we'd get smarter when Joel joined us, and so we did. He'll be back another day. I'll be back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show with your host, Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate Show is presented by Insperity, dedicated to helping businesses run better, grow faster, and make more money. And now, conducting over 1,000 live interviews each year, the Iron Man of Radio.
I feel ready to go another 9 innings.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world, wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening. Thank you for doing that. Could be listening on the radio. That's right, the original radio, AM, some FM, all the way back. That's the classic technology that continues to, that just keeps on giving. All the new technology gets thrown at it, and radio still keeps on marching. We're proud of all the folks out there in the radio land, broadcasting and receiving. And so thank you for doing that. You could be doing that anywhere across the northern half of the Western Hemisphere and islands on either side. Thank you for tuning in. But also, some of you are listening to our simulcast, our internet simulcast. We've been broadcasting since 97. We've been simulcasting since 98. So if you're listening to the simulcast, you could be doing that anywhere on the planet. China, Afghanistan, Romania, Estonia, wherever, next door, perhaps, right next door to the person listening on the radio. So anyway, thank you for doing that. We appreciate you tuning in and logging on, and we're going to do our best we can to make your time a good investment with us. Adam Witte and Terry Neese are going to be here this hour. Adam is a newer friend. He's about a 4 year. He's a 4 year model in our brain trust, and he's a great entrepreneurial story. Adam is because of the publishing company he's developed. But he wants to talk to us about developing professional goals, things he's learned as an entrepreneur. So we're going to get Adam to tell us about that right after the next break. And then one of my favorite people in the world, Terry Neese, goes back a long way as a member of our brain trust. She's the president and CEO of the Institute for Economic Empowerment of Women. You know, she's the lady who helps women in Rwanda and Afghanistan become entrepreneurs and brings them over here and trains them and teaches them. It's a great story. She's going to give us an update on how things are going this year. It's 9 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity high-performance HR and business solutions. From recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Sorry. Hey, all right, Sam. Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blassingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Adam Witte's here. I'm glad he's here, too. Adam is the founder and the CEO of Advantage Media Group, and he's the guy who has really done a great job of taking advantage of the new technology and the new direction that people want to go in, and founded a great company. Who's helping people put their best foot forward with their ideas, their thoughts, and he's learned some things along the way, and I'm glad to say that he's trying to give back some of the things he's learned to help you and me. Adam Witte, welcome back to the show.
Jim, pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back. AdvantageMedia.com or is it group.com?
AdvantageFamily.com.
That's it. I remember now. AdvantageFamily.com. I like that website. So, okay, Adam, tell us what you've learned as an entrepreneur, and as not just an entrepreneur, you've had to convert from being an entrepreneur into a manager, haven't you? Into a CEO.
There is a great leap from entrepreneur to CEO, and not everyone successfully makes the leap, and those that do make the leap sometimes want to go back. There's a big difference between being an entrepreneur and being a CEO, And I've learned the hard way through trial and error, but I'll tell you what, I sure do love being CEO, which to me is really being a leader, a servant leader more than anything, and it's really growing people who can then grow your organization.
When you started out, entrepreneur, then converting to CEOs, obviously you had goals in mind. How did you develop your goals, and how did you track them and fulfill them?
You know, I was one of those weird kids who, you know, when I was in middle school and high school, instead of going out and playing basketball, I was content to sit inside and read a book. And of all the books that I was reading business books and motivational books. So my parents, of course, were thinking, what in the world is going to come of this child? And the one of many positive influences in reading all of these books as a little kid and reading all these motivational books is it just became very apparent to me the importance of setting goals and really building a life plan. You know, most of our listeners today, Jim, either have a business plan or they're familiar with the concept of a business plan, but I bet you, if any, actually have a life plan, and a life plan is simply a business plan, but really for your personal life.
Do you when you think of a life plan as an entrepreneur, do you include the holistic part of your life, the business and the personal?
I do. I think Richard Branson got it right when he said, "I've never looked at it as work and play. To me, it's all just living."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's how entrepreneurs.
And that sounds good, but you know what? When you go home to the family, and things are you're having a tough time at the business. I've been saying for a long time, Adam, that our business weaves a very fine seam between it and our personal lives.
It does.
And sometimes, I know it's just living, but sometimes you need to differentiate. You need to separate them a little bit, don't you?
Well, no, that's absolutely right. I think the big takeaway is to remember that if you are an entrepreneur, if you are a business owner, you created this business for probably a lot of reasons. But one of them was to create a level of economic prosperity in which you could not only provide for your family, but in many ways live life on your own terms. And so that's where the importance of goal setting, the importance of building a life plan, you know, the plan for your life is not just personal, but it really needs to be holistic. The plan for your business, the plan for your personal life, and then how the two weave together and, quite frankly, support each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly right. And that's what entrepreneurs get caught up in. We're working so hard to make a better life for our families that when the business requires more of us, we justify spending that, giving that more because of the benefit the family will get. And ironically, sometimes the family is harmed by that.
That's exactly right. I think that the big picture is this, that if you wanted to end at a certain destination, you could pick up an atlas or you could pick up a map and you could easily chart your course to get to that end destination. I'm in Charleston this morning, and if I wanted to get to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., I could pull out a map and get myself there.
Mm-hmm.
If, on the other hand, you have no destination, then I could go north, I could go south, I could go west, I could go east, and I'd end up in the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But it really wouldn't matter. And so that's the whole idea with setting goals and setting priorities for your life, is that it allows you to construct a roadmap on how you're going to get there, which allows you to make better choices along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And here's the thing that I think that if I could learn from somebody like you, Adam, or me, someone who's been down the around the block a few times and has done this, is that to realize that you're probably, if you leave employment and you decide to become an entrepreneur, you're probably going to get rid of some of the things that annoy you about being an employee, but you're not necessarily going to get rid of problems.
Oh,
you're going to exchange one set of problems for another set of problems, aren't you?
And the problems may magnify in size.
Exactly. You may like the new problems worse than the old ones, right?
That's right. There's an old joke that millionaires and billionaires both have problems. It's just that the billionaire's problems are magnified by 100, 1,000
right.
times.
Right. When I hear somebody talking about growing their business from 50 employees to 400 employees over 10 years, my first thought is not how rich they are. My first thought is, man, I'm glad I'm not making that payroll.
Adam,
right. AdamAndyAdvantageFamily.com, right?
That's it.
Folks, check it out, and check out his publishing empire that Adam Witte has built over there. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blasting Game. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.